Chapter 14. We brought Cecilia back to the caravan, and I introduced her to all of my monster women. My women were excited to meet another harlot other than Josephine, and they nearly bombarded the poor guard with hundreds of questions. I allowed them to ask as long as Cecilia was comfortable, but once all of that finished, I led the redhead into the rear cabin of the caravan and showed her my machine. It was just the two of us, alone, and the green-eyed harlot stared up at the copper exterior for a long time without speaking. Suddenly, she turned with her mouth hanging slightly ajar and reached out for my hand. I didn't know her, but I had already felt a connection to the redhead.
"You built this?"
Cecilia asked in a hushed tone, and then took a tentative step forward. "Yes, I did. It's much different than it was in the beginning. I've reconfigured it quite a few times, but this is my masterpiece. Edeny originally commissioned me to build it."
"She said that she wanted super soldiers, correct?"
the guard murmured and pressed a hand to the cold metal exterior. "Yes, and she offered me a good amount of money to create them. It's strange to think about how far I've come since then."
"You've worked very hard."
Cecilia nodded and then turned to me with a small smile.
"If I'm frank, I would have never thought this day would come. I've spent my entire life navigating my way around the aristocrats, and there have been no signs of change. Sure, I had the other harlots and Josephine, but our numbers were small, and with all of us spread out over the country, there wasn't much we could do."
"Listen, there is always something that you can do. No matter how hopeless situations may seem, there is always something we can change to better our aspect. Look at what the harlots are doing in the capital. They're taking a stand and not backing down. I'm not sure what the queen will do to them to get that part of the city back, but these women fully believe in their side and won't back down. I hope that we can reach the capital in time and can aid them in their battle."
"I feel the worst for them,"
Cecilia murmured and squeezed my hand for strength.
"But I have to keep hope in my heart that maybe, just maybe, they'll keep fighting and take more land under their control. The harlots may be small, but they are mighty. That's why I'm so glad that you found me, Charles. I was so close to giving up. I couldn't take working under Samilla for one more day. If you hadn't come for me, I don't know what I would have done, but it probably wouldn't have been good."
"Earlier, when you spoke to Samilla in her rooms, you said that you worked under Hortensia Payne in the Royal Guard. Is that true?"
"You heard that? I shouldn't be surprised. But yes, she was a horrible woman who made me do horrific things. But there were a few times I disobeyed her. As a guard, they're supposed to protect the city and patrol the streets, similar to what we do here in Bascon. Hortensia would order me to patrol different areas and give me explicit orders to beat any men that I came into contact with. So I'd go out with my squadron and find brutes. But I'd take them into back alleys and yell at them. I never hurt them. And then I let them go as soon as the other guards were out of earshot. So there were other times that I couldn't pretend, and I would have to do it in front of the other guards. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. No one could suspect me."
"You met Ryan. It's hard to believe, but before the transformation, she was the very same woman you're speaking about right now."
"Wait. Ryan was Hortensia? Really? I would have never known."
"The queen sent Hortensia to Edenheart to spy on the Duchess, and we transformed her. She's a lot different now, and I'm grateful for that. You'll get to know her better as time goes on. She's quite fiery and boisterous, but she's kind and caring to those around her."
"Charles, will I be transformed too? Will you turn me into a monster woman?"
"If that's what you wish. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. That's the thing about the future I'm building. It's your choice to join the Monster Woman army, or if you want to fight alongside us as you are now."
"Do your women like it?"
the harlot asked and dropped my hand.
"Being monster women?
Yes, they are much happier now than they've ever been. They live lives that they would have never had if I hadn't transformed them. Aristocrats have everything in this world, money, property, and power, but they've never known what it's like to be loved by anyone. From what I've seen, they throw away consorts like the trash once they've gotten what they want from them. Not only that, but I've seen how aristocratic mothers treat their children. Even Edeni said that her mother abused her occasionally. Nobles don't know what love is. Not from family members, each other, or men. That's what I give my monster women. Love that isn't conditional or by any terms. No matter what they do or say, I will always love them.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. But is it only if they're monster women? Or is anyone included?
Anyone. For the longest time, Josephine was a human, and she was part of our family. I loved and accepted her because she was pure of heart.
Oh, Seraphine. Oops, I'm sorry. Josephine,
the harlot corrected herself,
is an angel. Her mother created our course, and we followed her and her teachings ever since then. I'm sure it was difficult for Josephine's mother in the beginning. She had to find other women like her all over the country. But she did it.
Was your mother a harlot, or did you become one later in life?
No. My mother was more aristocratic than any other woman that I'd ever met. She hated men with a passion, making sure to beat them before sending them off to the Red Light District. My mother bought consorts and then ruined them so they couldn't work or serve another noble in the city. I can't even imagine how many lives she ruined. I saw the pain, and I knew it was wrong of me, as an heiress, to look at these men and feel pity for them, when I heard every day that they deserved it.
But you joined the guard anyway? I asked under my breath. Isn't that even worse than standing aside and helping them when no one was looking?
The guard is my birthright. My mother and grandmother... Almost every noble in my family joins the guard after their 17th birthday. I couldn't refuse. I had to do it. So I promised myself that I would help any man that I could indiscriminately, even if it meant that I could be caught, jailed, or sent to an insane asylum. I did it regardless of my own safety.
Do you want to join the monster women? I asked and took a step closer. I could transform you right now if you wanted, but I will only do it if that's what you want. The only downside to the transformation is your power won't work automatically after. You have to wait until it reactivates to use it.
Let me think about it.
The guard smiled shyly.
Let's fight our battle tomorrow. Let me observe the monster women and their powers. Then I will decide if I want to join you or not.
Very well. You can be part of my family as long as you want to be. I won't force you.
I would like to be, Charles. But let me think it over first. I see how you treat your women, and it's something that I would like to have, too. But let me think about it over the next few days.
Very well. My machine and I will be waiting once you make your decision, but I will tell you, becoming a monster woman is more than you think it is. Yes, you will receive my love and adoration, but your powers... they'll be amplified 10 times, especially now that I've collected the elemental core and broken it into pieces. I used one for my staff, and the others went into my machine. Once you're transformed, your existing powers will either change and become more powerful, or they'll be augmented.
Oh, really?
Yes. Most of the monster women who came out have different powers and personalities than the ones they possessed when they came in. The exceptions are Josephine and Edeni, but... I believe that's because they were already in love with me when we experimented. I'm not trying to persuade you, but there are upsides to the process.
Thank you.
The guard nodded. You're welcome. There are 2 very comfortable couches in the other rooms if you'd like to sleep there. We'll be waking early in the morning since my army will be here. Tomorrow, a war starts. I don't think it's hit me yet. Berskan is larger than Edenheart. Not by much, but it is. This is a harder task than any of the other battles we've fought so far.
Our belief system is right,
Cecilia stated, curled her hands into fists, and whipped her head in my direction.
I've waited for this. Waited for the rise of the brutes for so long, and it's finally happening. I get to watch the revolution right before my eyes, and it's so unbelievably exciting. I don't have to hide what I feel and believe anymore. It's a strange feeling. I thought that I'd have to keep all of these feelings closeted for the rest of my life, and then you appeared out of nothing. Thank you, Charles. Thank you for giving me, the other harlots, and the men all over the world, hope.
There's no need to thank me, I chuckled, and lightly guided her out of the last cabin. I'm simply doing what I think is right.
Charles?
Cecilia breathed, and I turned back toward her with a raised eyebrow. What is it? I asked.
I would like to sleep with you and your women.
The guard smiled gently.
I don't think I could stand to be by myself right now. I'm far too excited.
You're more than welcome to. My women should be getting ready for bed now if you want to go in and get to know them a little better.
What are you going to do?
The guard asked with a tilt of her head. I'm just going to go outside for a moment, look out over the city, and relax before all of the excitement begins tomorrow.
So you're going to look out over your soon-to-be domain?
The guard raised an eyebrow. Something like that, I chuckled, and then hurried out of the caravan's door. The cold night air slammed into me and bit into my skin, but the glittering lights from below made it all worth it. Berskan was so different than Edenheart, and though the quaintness of my hometown was nice, I still thought the unfamiliar city was beautiful. I wondered for a moment what it would have looked like before the Marchioness had moved in and industrialized everything. It probably resembled Edenheart back then, with its easy-to-navigate streets and manors outcropping the city's edges. I wondered what the capital would be like. I'd never been there before, and I imagined it to be like Berskan, but much larger. I stepped away from the caravan, but kept my eyes glued to the streets below me. I'd seen cities before, but for some reason, I was fascinated with Berskan. Was this what all cities would look like in the future, with their towering buildings and long, confusing streets zigzagging in between? I could get used to it, but, well, it felt like a part of me would also long for the quiet, lazy streets of Edenheart. As much as I hated and resented the city I came from, there was still beauty to it that I hadn't taken the time to admire until now. As I moved in between the trees, they broke apart, and the ground rose up above the blinding lights below on a rocky cliff. I stepped out onto it and stared down at the towering buildings below. They seemed so close that if I reached out my hand, I could almost touch the roofs of them. My hand outstretched from my body, and I splayed out my fingers as the lights shined in between the digits.
What are you doing?
An alluring voice from behind me chuckled.
Grabbing at the city like a child reaching for a toy they want. It's not yours yet, but it will be, Charles.
What are you doing out here so late, Edeny? I asked, turned, and grinned wolfishly at the Duchess.
Taking a midnight stroll. When I brought the caravan to your manor, I thought it'd be freezing in there, but the wood-burning stoves in each room actually made it quite uncomfortably toasty. I just wanted to cool off before all of us head to bed. I know I asked, but what are you doing out here? I'm sure it can't be what I said.
It's nice during the night, when we're all cuddled up together, but I think Daisy's been manning the stoves. You know how she is.
She loves to keep warm. It must be the bear inside of her. It's getting pretty close to winter. I wonder if she'll still have the urge to hibernate.
I doubt it. But you never know. We'll have to keep an eye on her in case she starts building nests around the caravan.
It's strange to think. That's our home now,
Edeny murmured and glanced over her shoulder in the caravan's direction.
We live in a bunch of cabins pulled by our horses. I used to live in a mansion with 15 bedrooms and 7 guest rooms. I used to eat my breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a table long enough to seat at least 25 people. Now, I live with my sisters and the love of my life in a caravan.
Does it make you sad? Do you miss it?
Do I miss empty rooms and halls filled with silence? No. I don't think I wanted to admit it back then, but I was so lonely. I had no one in that big house, and yet I still thought I had everything I wanted and needed. I knew that something was missing, but it never knocked me off of my pedestal. Do you want to know what I was missing all of that time, Charles?
Was it me? I chided through chuckles.
Yes.
Edenie giggled, slipped in beside me, and took my hand into hers.
You were the missing piece in my life. Sure, I needed to be transformed and my beliefs changed, but all I needed was you. I was so in love with you. But no matter how hard I tried to possess you, it never happened. I think I understand why now.
What do you mean?
I can't possess you. You're not an object. Even now, I don't own you. But I've accepted that because I love you and my sisters. You belong to all of us in different ways, and that's what makes us a family. Your love and adoration brings all of us closer together. I cannot own you, and you can't possess me. I think the other monster women feel it too, but not as much as me. Maybe Daisy, because she was once Delphine, but even then, I don't think it's as severe as mine.
We belong together. But why don't my other women feel it as strongly as you do? I don't quite understand your meaning.
I'll explain. Delphine wanted you as one of her consorts, but it was short-lived. She didn't want you as long as I did. I loved you for months, and I couldn't get the thought of you out of my head. I needed to own you, even if it meant trapping you, or even killing you, because if I murdered you, your soul would belong to me and me only. After my transformation, I understood this feeling inside of me better. We're in tandem, harmony, if you will. We belong to each other, but you also belong to my sisters. There's so much love in this family, and I'm thankful for you, Charles. You saved me. You saved all of us from ruination.
I wouldn't say I saved you, I chuckled and shook my head. Maybe fixed a broken part of you, but definitely not saved.
Don't say that.
Edenie breathed and squeezed my hand tenderly.
You did save us, and you're going to save all of the enslaved men. I think you should accept your position as our savior, Charles, because that's what everyone will see you as when all of this ends. The single man that overcame the aristocratic oppression and destroyed the matriarchy. I feel like you haven't realized that yet.
I have, but I don't want to let it get to my head. I know that I'm stronger and more capable than I thought prior, but I don't want to overstep that. I want to stay humble and set out to do what I wanted to in the beginning.
And what is that?
The she-wolf asked, and her tail brushed my pants leg lightly. Protect my family, I uttered, and then smiled. Create more monster women, and defeat the queen.
I heard you and Daisy speaking earlier. She asked you if you think you'll kill the queen or spare her.
Yes, what of it?
I agree with Daisy. I think we should kill her. She can't be excused for what she's done to humanity. And to me. She's attempted to destroy my family at every turn. She even laughed in my face when my mother died. I know you had issues when you transformed me. You weren't sure if you could love me or accept me into your family, but this is different. I don't think I could find it within me to forgive her, even after she went through the experiment. Sure, she'd feel bad about what she'd done, but that doesn't make up for it.
But doesn't everyone deserve redemption? I asked, and Edenie's eyes widened out of surprise. I'll think about it, Edenie. It's entirely my decision what we do with the queen, but I'll ask you again. Doesn't everyone deserve redemption? If we transform her, all of her vicious attacks will end, and men will be free from their invisible chains. I'm not defending her, but she could do some greater good. There may be darkness now, Edenie, but there is always light that we can look for. Not everything has to end in death. That's why I'm postponing my decision. I'll decide once we reach the capital. She won't be the same person who hurt you and your family, just as you aren't the same person who hurt me.
I didn't think of it that way, Charles.
Edany breathed and tightly wrapped her arms around me.
I'm sorry. I will stand by any decision that you make. If you want to kill her, I will honor that. But if you want to let her live and become one of my sisters, I'll stand by that too.
Thank you, I whispered into her hair and pressed her body into mine. It's a difficult decision, Edany, and I can't make all of you happy, but it's mine to make. I just want all of you to remember that I love you all so much, and I would never do anything to hurt or upset you. But I have to do what I think is right.
I understand that,
Edany murmured into my ear.
And I will accept that whatever your choice is for the betterment of our future together. If you decide to make the queen my sister, I will try my best to accept her as one of our own.
Thank you, I nodded, and turned back toward the direction of the caravan. Should we turn in for the night? The soldiers will be here in the morning.
Well, Charles,
Edany breathed and paused on the ledge.
There's something else I wanted to speak to you about.
The Duchess stood backlit by the city's lights, and her violet eyes bored into mine. She looked so beautiful, but her face had a hint of sadness to its expression. The she-wolf stepped forward and regarded me with admiration and love for a long moment. What is it? What's the matter?
Ryan is pregnant. I want a baby too, Charles. I want you to fill me with your fertile seed and give me a child. You are the love of my life, and I want nothing more than to give birth to your children. Give me a child. Make love to me. Right here, under the stars in the watching city. Take me when no one can hear or see us. I need you so badly, Charles. Please.
I didn't have to answer her please, only stepped forward with my arms outstretched. We came together and wrapped our arms around each other as our lips smashed together. Edany's delicate hand snaked up between my legs, caressed my thigh, and then moved upward toward my member. As soon as her fingers came into contact with it through my trousers' fabric, my penis sprung to life and throbbed angrily against my underwear. I grunted under my breath. Her hand stroked me softly and slowly at first, and then she moved it faster and with more purpose. Edany. Oh, yes. I leaned my head back and gasped softly. The wolf woman pulled out my pants waistband, reached inside, and held my erect penis in her palm. She stroked it faster and faster until my chest rose and fell with a roaring breath. I felt on the verge of orgasming when she suddenly pulled her hand away. The she-wolf sauntered away, quickly slipped out of her outfit, and leaned against a tree with her hips pushed out toward me.
Come, Charles. Make love to me. I need you inside of me more than ever.
Yes, my love, I breathed, reached for my belt, and slowly undid it. My pants fell to the ground, and I stepped out of them as I pulled down my underwear. I held my throbbing member in my hand, stroked it a few times, but the Duchess shook her head and clicked her tongue.
No, you shouldn't be the one doing that. It belongs inside of me, not in your hand.
I pressed my body against hers. My member slipped in between her lips, rubbed against her slick womanhood, and I growled under my breath. My hands went to her enormous pale breasts, grasped them, and took her hardened nipple into my mouth. I sucked on it, twirled my tongue around it, and then bit down on it slightly.
Charles!
Edany screamed, dug her nails into my back, and rocked her hips against my hardened member.
Oh, yes! Oh, Charles, yes!
I pulled away, and her nipple slid out of my mouth with a soft pop. I took my member into my hand again. I guided it toward her womanhood, rubbed it against her lips for a second, listened to her explosive moans, and then thrust into her. Pleasure rocketed through me. An explosive groan roared up my throat, and I gripped her by the hips. Edany hooked her right leg around my waist, lifted her hips, and slid my penis all the way inside of her. Oh! I gasped for air, hung my head back, and relished the feeling of her velvety walls as they tightened around me. I held onto her hips tighter, pulled back, and thrust into her velvety tunnel. The wolf woman's back curled, her head rocked back, her lips opened, and she screamed at the darkened sky in ecstasy.
Yes! Charles! Oh, yes! More! More!
I slammed into her, lifted her other leg, held them at my waist, and pounded into her savagely. The forest was filled with our lovemaking's wet sounds, the slap of our bodies as they came together, and Edenie's echoing screams of pleasure. I smashed my lips against hers, rocked my hips so fast that I couldn't feel their movement anymore, and relished the convulsing of her body around my aching cock. Every inch of her felt like silk, and every time I thrust into her, I felt seconds away from coming. Her nails dug into my back, her hips bucked against me wildly, and I buried my right hand into her silky, colorless locks. I gripped the hair tightly in my fist, listened as her moans heightened, and tugged on it lightly at first.
Harder, Charles! Harder!
As I yanked the hair downward, Edenie's mouth fell open, and she screamed so loudly that my ears started to ring. I chuckled lightly, held the hair in my hand, and tugged on it with every thrust of my hips. The Duchess's entire body shook and trembled against me. The sounds of her moans were airy now, almost desperate, and I could tell she was close. Are you ready?
Yes, Charles. Fill me with your seed. I need to feel it inside of me. Breed with me. Give me a baby. I want one so bad. I begged for this. Give me the heir no other man could ever give me. It has to be yours. Only yours, Charles.
I leaned my head back, let go of her hair, and gripped her by the hips. I pounded into her, fought off the rising orgasm, and timed my thrust along with her bucking hips. Suddenly, Edenie's convulsing walls tightened around me, loosened, and then gripped me so hard that I groaned out of pleasure.
Yes!
The wolf woman screamed at the top of her lungs.
Yes, Charles! Yes! Oh, Charles, it feels so good! Harder! Harder! Faster! Yes, Charles!
Her voice echoed through the forest, filled it with life, and just as she asked, I moved harder. My penis plunged into her, hit the soft walls of her vagina, and then pulled back as she tightened around me even more. I felt the orgasm rising through my body now. It started in my groin, shot through my belly, and then circled my brain's confines. I pumped into her, gasped for air, and then tensed as my penis hardened one last time. Oh, Edenie, by science, oh, you feel so good.
Oh, I was made for you, Charles. Made for you to love, care for, and breed with. Yes, fill me up, Charles. I need it. I need to feel you pouring inside of me. Give me your seed. I want it. I need it.
Pleasure shot through my entire body. I roared to life, slammed into her two last times, and spilled all of my frothy semen deep into her womb. Our climaxes lasted for a good minute, and we each cried out over and over again as my cock poured a gallon of seed into her eager body. Wow! I gasped for air after we both started to come down. Then I held on to her tightly and rested my head against her shoulder. That was intense. Edenie clutched me to her bare breast, and I pressed soft kisses to her enormous breast's tender flesh. Her body felt so good pressed into mine, and if she stayed like this for much longer, I'd want to make love to her again. Within the last 24 hours, I'd had sex with three of my monster women, and I barely felt winded or tired. I was sure that the others would come to me with the very same demands over the next few days, and I would do it. It wasn't a surefire thing that they'd get pregnant every time we had sex, and I was sure they'd be jumping me every chance they got. Edenie's head fell forward and rested against my shoulder for a moment as I held her. She breathed in deeply, and finally her legs relaxed from around me. The Duchess raised her head and grinned up at me. Her cheeks were flushed, and her violet eyes sparkled with the reflection of the city behind us.
Thank you. I needed that.
I slowly lowered her to the ground and then helped her redress. I pulled on my clothes, too, and finally, when we finished, the two of us stood on the ledge together for a second time. We stared out over the city for a long moment as a cold breeze brushed through and forced the wolf woman closer to my side.
You know what tomorrow brings?
Yes. Tomorrow is the beginning of a long war, but I'm ready.
Charles, are we going to kill Smilla?
No. I chuckled darkly, held her a little tighter, and glared toward the Marchioness's building. We're going to transform her and add her to the army. But she's going to be part of a specific branch of our Monster Women military.
You've thought a lot about your next move.
I do have a plan. Each city on our way to the capital has a Marchioness, correct? Imagine if I collected them all. A whole squadron of Marchioness Monster Women. I want you to put yourself in the Queen's shoes for a moment. We suddenly attack, and you prepare for battle, calling all of your soldiers to you and give them commands. Right before all of it starts, you step out onto the balcony, and there below you, all of the Marchionesses stand before you, fully ready to tear you out, kicking and screaming, like a worm pulled out of its hole by a hungry bird.
Oh, how devilish, Charles. Absolutely wicked.
All of it starts tomorrow, I grunted, and then grinned even wider. Smilla is our target. She doesn't know what's coming, and I think that's what excites me the most. By the end of tomorrow, or even the day after, she'll be my brand new Monster Woman, and we'll move on toward the capital. Come, my love. Let's head to bed. Tomorrow the battle starts, and it'll be brutal, but we will win. I can feel it in my bones.